Al-Qaeda carried out a series of bomb attacks in which at least 10 people were killed. The explosions happened near an identity card office in the city of Kerbala. A man who spent four nights in a tree to prevent it being axed has come down, only to be replaced by another campaigner. North Yorkshire County Council says the 100-year-old beech tree in Ayrton near Scarborough needs to be chopped down because it threatens the drains of nearby properties. BBC News.
Open Book will be marking the 50th anniversary of Catch 22 at 4 o'clock here on Radio 4. But first, Kenneth Branagh stars now in the concluding episode of Life and Fate. Victor has returned to Moscow, but is beginning to fall foul of Soviet dogma.
The Brocken Spectre. In German, Brockengespenst, a vast shadow cast upon a cloud when an observer, generally on a mountain peak, stands between the cloud and the sun. It is said that the phenomenon inspired Charles Wilson to create in 1911 the first cloud chamber. The cloud chamber is a sealed environment containing supercooled and supersaturated alcohol or water vapor. When particles interact with this medium, they ionize it. The particles themselves are undetectable by human senses. We may only ever observe the trails they create as they pass through the cloud chamber.
Life and Fate by Vasily Grossman. Dramatised for radio by Jonathan Myerson and Mike Walker. Victor and the Academy. Moscow. Winter 1942.
After the move back from Kazan to Moscow, our laboratories had been housed in the Academy of Science. The director there was my teacher and friend, Dmitry Petrovich Chapezian. More than anything in Kazan, I'd missed his advice, especially over the whole business of those evenings at Pyotr Sokolov's, when we all talked, perhaps so unwisely, about so much. Well, some of us did, but not Pyotr Sokolov. Did that mean he was the informer?
Dmitri Petrovich!
My boy! Oh, give me a hug. So they let you back, did they? Now you actually managed to do some real physics.
Professor Chapezian, good to see you again.
And you, Dr. Sokolov, welcome back.
Thank you.
To the warmth of the centre. Well, you know most of us here. You'll get to know the new comrades soon enough. We're all very excited about your work in Kazan. It's more interesting than we can yet appreciate.
No, it's nothing, really.
Academician Shishikov, do you know Dr. Strum?
Not had the pleasure.
Actually, academician, I think we did meet before the war a number of...
Yes.
Academician Shishikov. The man who once failed to recognize a positron on a photograph and thereby missed making a momentous discovery, but somehow still managed to gain the kudos. A man who, like Tsiolkovsky's rocket, desired only to go higher.
We hope that your work here is not too late to help the war effort, Dr. Strum, now that we've stopped the Germans on the Volga.
Ah, there's the power of living water, the living Volga, the Russian Volga.
The power of Russian strategy and the determination of the people. We scientists must not lag behind.
Academician, are you familiar with Dr. Strum's work, his paper?
Well, I know of it, of course. I haven't read it yet.
And you have an opinion on its value?
All our work here is of value. Oh, comrade! Excuse me.
Stopping away.
Who's the young grandee?
Boris Badin, scientific section of the Central Committee, the academician's natural medium, one might say.
Well, our natural medium is the water of pure science, and so let us follow Einstein and put Marx's principle to the test, if not Marx's.
I'm not sure that Einstein is actually the equal of Marx.
What?
Yeah, well put, academician. Yeah, but you must remember that Viktor Pavlovich is a relativist.
Somehow I don't think relativity does much in a soldier's hand when what he needs is a bayonet.
On the contrary, academician.
Well, perhaps we can continue.
Don't you see, this whole struggle between us and the fascists, they exiled Einstein and their physics has become the physics of monkeys. But we, on the Volga, In Stalingrad, in the smallest village on the steppe, in an illiterate old woman, in the freedom, you see. It all goes together.
And you are, comrade?
What?
Oh, Comrade Bardeen, this is our genius, Viktor Pavlovich Strom. Viktor Pavlovich, Comrade Bardeen from the Central Committee.
Well, Comrade Strom, to you it may seem natural to couple the names of Einstein and Stalingrad, but after all, the general theory is an idealist theory. And out there in the city of Stalingrad, there is nothing ideal in either sense of the word, but only a life and death struggle going on for our very national existence.
Contemporary physics is the physics of Einstein, or it's nothing. Pyotr, Dmitri Petrovich, back me up here. Oh.
Oh, I'm sure we'll be able to discuss this further, Comrade Strum. But now we have a committee to attend, I believe, to give some order to our work here in Moscow. Yes? Academician Shishakov, I defer to you.
Of course. Comrades, time is wasting. Let us get to work.
Pyotr, where did you get to? I was trying to explain to the academician and the youth from the Central Committee the importance of Einstein.
Really? Sounded to me more like that old story of Mark Twain's, about the fellow who boasts of his income to the tax inspector.
That's not funny.
I know.
We're not talking about making soap.
Who's making soap? Papa's not making soap now, is he?
It's just some meeting he was at.
It's what Stalin said about the sciences in Russia. He understands, you see.
Well, good for Stalin. I'm off.
Might be
late tonight.
Where are you going?
I told you, out.
Where?
Just out. I mean, I'm not a prisoner, am I? Out with friends.
Well, what friends?
My friends. Bye.
Hi. Well?
I don't know. She is 16, after all.
But shouldn't she tell us? I mean, if it's some boy...
Tea?
Yes. Then I'd better be off, too.
You're going back to work? At this time?
Well, we have to get the lab set up. There's a war on, you know.
Yes, Victor. I do.
3 weeks later, Dmitri Petrovich Chepizhin announced his retirement as head of physics, effective at once. Illness and exhaustion were given as the reasons, or a heart attack, or a sudden family emergency.
Well?
No. It seems he's gone to the country on his doctor's advice. Complete rest.
There you are, then.
Well, are we? What if it's all starting again, like in 37?
Victor, don't be silly.
Babel, Pilniak, Levin, Korshunov. They came for him when he was bathing his little boy.
Stop it.
But everyone knows Chepizhin. He's a friend of Rutherford's, Niels Bohr. Every street sweeper knows his equations.
I don't think so, Papa.
All right, maybe. But what can I do? This young firebrand from the Central Committee, Bardeen.
Well, what you can do is be careful. Be sensible, or you'll end up having your laboratory taken away.
But it's Dmitri Chepizhin.
I agree, Papa. If he's your friend, you should protest. Say something, not creep around.
On my mark. 3, 2, 1, now.
Running.
Are we getting the trace?
It's satisfactory.
Good. Viktor Pavlovich, we're up and running with the Wilson chamber.
See? Once Anna Stepanovna arrived from Kazan, everything started to work properly.
No, Viktor Pavlovich. It was all Dr. Markov.
Now, don't be modest. Without you, Anna, we are as children.
That's the spirit.
So, the equipment is all here and installed, but Professor Chepizhin isn't.
Do you know, I wanted to celebrate with my nephew who was passing through, and it cost me 300 rubles for half a litre of vodka. What about that?
I hope it was a good celebration.
Well, he's a good boy.
And his replacement as head of physics is academician Shishakov.
He'll be fine. He knows Comrade Zhdanov, after all.
A physicist who couldn't see a positron when it was practically poking his eye out.
But they don't make a man an academician for nothing, Victor.
Oh, don't they?
Look, all of you, are you happy with Chepizhin's resignation?
Your parcel arrived today.
Huh? What parcel?
Don't be nosy, Nadja.
What parcel? From the Institute shop.
Important war workers get a special ration.
And because of his great idea, Papa is now equal to a general. Or a colonel.
Oh, there are many grades of scientists. The very great, the famous, the talented and the old. The great and the very great are no longer with us, so the rest share out what's left. Oh, except the new director, academician Shishikov, who gets 25 eggs whilst I get 15.
But aren't you ashamed to eat your lamb chops and eggs when the cleaning lady is right there beside you?
The cleaners don't use our canteen.
There's socialism for you.
Each according to his labour. That's the principle of socialism.
I don't really think there's much socialism in our canteen. Though I tell you what, everyone at the Institute is reading my paper now. They've printed up copies and they're passing them around.
Hurrah! Just like Mandelstam's poems. My papa, the genius.
Well, I'm not a genius yet.
And you still get the same number of eggs as Pyotr Sokolov.
What?
I'm off. I won't be late.
Where are you going?
Out.
Who with?
A friend. I'll see you later. Enjoy your eggs now, Papa.
And there's something else too, Lyuda.
More eggs.
Academician Shishikov.
Oh, Victor, you're getting obsessed.
You don't understand. He's giving a party this evening. Everyone's going. I wasn't invited.
You always say you hate those kind of events.
You don't understand. None of you understand.
I understand that there are more important things in this world than how many eggs you get.
Morning, Victor. So, do you think Robert Oppenheimer joins the queue for a cup of coffee in the morning?
Oh, he probably has it brought to his office, Pyotr, by a lack. How was the party?
The party?
At Shishikov's. You were invited, weren't you?
I must say, you'd never have thought it was wartime. Mm-hmm. Beluga, Georgian wine, fresh ground coffee. Well, if that's what being an academician gets you, I'd like some of it too.
Oh, I'm sure you'll get there, Pyotr. Who else went?
Oh, everyone. Well, I mean, more or less. Coffee, please. And one of the buns. Thank you, citizen.
Yes, everyone except me.
Sorry?
Oh, don't be. Coffee, please, citizen. Was anything said?
About my work. Maybe your supporters aren't doing you a favour.
Have I got any?
Some of the younger men think a lot of you. We all do, Victor. Those who know you and know the value of your work. But Boris Bardeen was there, the Central Committee man.
Oh, the young grandee.
He talked about Jewish science.
But he's not a scientist. What does he know about
it? Don't ask me. I am a scientist. I think they're starting some campaign about strengthening the party spirit in science. You know, rooting out lack of cooperation, lack of spirit. They can destroy people, Victor. We've all seen it done.
Dr. Strum? How could you? Hmm? Behind my back, what did I do to deserve it?
My dear Anna Stepanovna, what's the matter?
Don't you know?
Well, quite clearly not.
I was called to the personnel department. They told me I had to write a letter of resignation. Anyone without further education is not eligible to work in our team.
That's nonsense. You're invaluable.
But you mean that? You're not just...
I mean it, Anna, and I shall see the director and sort it out at once. There are too many things going on here that get in the way of science.
I just don't see what they could have against me, Victor Pavlovich.
Don't you worry about a thing.
Unless it's being Jewish.
Good morning, academician.
Dr. Strum. I was just about to phone you.
Well, I've saved you the trouble.
Splendid. There's a questionnaire senior staff are being asked to fill out. Perhaps you could...
Yes. But about Anna Stepanovna Loshakova.
Yes.
She's a superb laboratory assistant. It's quite absurd to dismiss her, particularly on administrative grounds.
Staff are never dismissed on those grounds alone, Victor Pavlovich.
Then on what grounds?
I'm sure I could look into it for you.
And there are still three members of our team stuck in Kazan. This is not helping our...
We are a team, are we not? Working together with the spirit of the party and under the wise leadership of the great Stalin.
Of course we are, so let's work efficiently. Isn't that what he would demand of us, our finest efforts?
Absolutely, so leave it with me. Thank you for coming by. Oh, and with the questionnaire, if there's a negative answer, could you not use a dash, but write in, no, I have not, no, I was not. No, I did not, and so on. Purely administrative, that's all. Thank you so much, Dr. Strum.
Surname patronymic, date of birth, sex, place of birth, nationality, Jew, social origin, petit bourgeois, social position, white collar worker, scientist, physicist, white collar worker. Have you or any close relatives ever been the subject of judicial inquiry or trial? Have you been arrested? Have you been given a judicial or administrative sentence? When? Where precisely? What for? If you were reprieved, when? The same questions apply to your spouse, if any. My wife's brother was sentenced. My wife's ex-husband, no, partner, is currently serving. But her son, from that relationship, died during the battle for Stalingrad. And anyway, I wasn't interested in... And just as quite suddenly, when the great idea came to me, everything in the whole universe seemed to fall into place. So everything quite suddenly fell apart into irrelevance. Nothing. Nothing. Nothing.
Academician.
Dr. Strum, my car is waiting.
Why is it that all the members of my team who have had difficulties happen to have Jewish surnames?
I have a meeting.
Shishkov, I'm not going away until you give me an answer.
Very well, Viktor Pavlovich. It is felt that your theories contradict the materialist view of the nature of matter and need to be reconsidered. You will be asked to give a speech to that effect yourself.
What?
The very survival of our country and way of life is at stake here. And you're shouting on about Anna Stepanovna Losakova? Is that even a Jewish name? Right. You're not helping matters. Now, I really do have to go.
Look, you are a disgrace!
Get your hands off!
Physics has no concern with philosophy. It doesn't have to agree with anything. It has only to try and reveal what is the case.
Are you saying that physics thinks it's acceptable to disagree with Marx and Lenin?
With God himself, if that be the truth! And I will be happy to give a speech to that effect. And as for the business of Jewish surnames... Oh, it's not a joke, believe me. It is not a joke. I find it very difficult to work under these conditions.
It is pointless hurling these ultimata at each other. Get in. Very well. I am the director, and I will take your points under consideration, Viktor Pavlovich. Serious consideration. I know you do not consider me a proper scientist. The man who missed the positron, yes?
What?
Yes. I know you do not consider trying to run an institute crammed full of brilliant, egotistical, selfish, and sometimes unstable people is a job even worth doing. But it is my job, and I will do it to the best of my ability. There's a war on, Strum. Drive out, you can stop here. Thousands of Russian boys are dying to make it possible for us to do what we do, so we better bloody well do it as well as we bloody well can. Thank you. That is all.
Thank you for your time and your consideration, Academician Shishkov.
Entanglement. The defining feature of quantum physics. Even Einstein could hardly accept the idea, but there it is all the same, that particles can be linked in such a way that changing the quantum state of one will instantaneously affect the other, even if they are light years apart.
Viktor Pavlovich.
Yes. How else could it be? Who else?
What is it?
How extraordinary, but not at all extraordinary. Sorry, Maria Ivanova. What brought you to Kaluga Street?
It's not a coincidence. I wanted to see you, that's all. Pyotr told me what happened at the Institute yesterday.
worse today. I'm afraid Luda's going to be very angry with me. You probably feel the same. I'm being an idiot, yes?
No. I understand what made you say everything you said. You were thinking of your mother and her letter and all the things she wrote to you.
I suddenly understood, as I had not before. Yes, that is exactly what had happened and why I had acted in this way. My mother's last letter to me, knowing she was going to her death, knowing she would never see me again and had only these words to write and nothing more. You've known that's the kind of man I am all the time, Mario.
Since Kazan. Not when you showed me the letter, but before then. On that night we talked about Chekhov.
And raspberry jam. The way to a Russian's heart.
Oh, Pyotr's worried for you, Viktor. He thinks they want to somehow discredit your work. And that means discrediting you as well.
Pyotr's a good scientist, but he's no fighter.
He's a good man trying to do his best. And maybe he isn't a hero, but then we can't all be Viktor Strum, can we?
What a beautiful afternoon it is. Why don't we go to the park?
Have you heard anything I've said, Viktor?
Everything, Mario. All that you've said and all that you haven't said.
I don't understand.
No, I think you're the only one who does. Come on. Careful, mind the slush here. Here, let me... Oh, there.
Thank you. Is it getting a little warmer? Maybe there'll be a thaw soon.
I like this, being here.
Yes, it's good.
Oh.
Come on, you know it'll be all right.
Misha, you don't have to go back any day now.
Well, don't you see? That's why we should at once. Now give me a kiss.
You know, Nadia has a boyfriend now. Maybe he's a soldier too. I don't know. My God, do you think she gets up to that sort of thing with him?
Boys and girls, Viktor. And wars too. How sad it all is. Maybe he wants to get married. Yes, that's it. Before he goes back, he wants to know he has someone at home.
I might have to leave the Institute because of all the politics.
There's nothing else you could do. Maybe it'll be for the best.
How sad it all is. All the things we want and hope for, all the ambitions, the discoveries. And in the end, what do they mean to us? Well, they stand as they are, but we were gone like shadows in the sunlight.
You couldn't have acted in any other way. Another man could, but not you. Whatever happens, you must know that.
Thank you. And not only for that.
How strange we've come back to where we started without realizing.
It's not for nothing, the ancients said, in my beginning is my end.
No, I don't understand. Goodbye.
Only as she went did I realize we had been hand in hand since I'd helped her across the puddle. Hand in hand, like the young lovers. Entanglement. Well, it's happened. I'm leaving the Institute.
You can't, Viktor.
I have to.
Someone else will just take your place, and they won't be as brilliant as you.
Can't you see?
What? That you're hurt, angry, that everything isn't going the way you want it to go, that everyone isn't still saying how wonderful
they
you
are. They
want
me to make a speech saying my ideas were wrong, or at least they contradict Lenin's view of materiality.
You're not looking so well.
All right.
Sit down. I'll get you some tea. Breathe calmly. Don't agitate yourself. Did you have any lunch? No, of course you didn't.
The state. Don't you see it? It raises a man up and it just churns him under.
You'll be all right. They need you.
No, they don't need anyone.
Well, you need... I think you need to talk to Nadia. Almost every night she comes home after curfew.
You said so the other day.
Well, last night I happened to lift the blackout curtain and there was Nadia with some soldier. They were holding hands and then they were kissing.
Well, Nadia and a soldier. Well. Luda, I was right to have it out with Shishakov, wasn't I?
I just don't know.
Well, I don't know either.
Nadia! You should say something, Victor. Be gentle, though.
Of course.
Hello, hello, hello. Is there anything to eat? I'm starving.
Who were you kissing the other night in the street?
A slice of bread would be fine. His name is Andrew Solomov. He's at military school. He's a lieutenant.
Oh, are you going to marry him?
Marry him? I don't know. I could do, or maybe not. I haven't made up my mind yet.
But, Nadia, why did you tell us lies about seeing friends? I never lied to my mother.
And I bet your mother never spied on you either.
Don't be cheeky. So, Nadezhda Viktorovna, you haven't yet decided whether to marry your young colonel or become his, concubine?
Concubine?
I mean, who is this man? Where does he serve? I'm going to speak to his commanding officer. I mean, going around picking up babes in arms, it's absurd. It's ridiculous. Just did at school, why are you looking at me like that? You look like a scientist studying an amoeba, and I am not an amoeba!
And I am going to bed!
Nadia, you listen to me! Nadia, I am your... Amoeba. Bloody amoeba. Why did I say that?
Drink your tea, Vitya. It's getting cold.
I sat there for hours that night, not thinking but feeling everything rushing down on me. I wanted to be with Maria because she was the only person I believed could understand me. But that understanding meant betraying my friend, and all the time I was wondering if he was about to betray me. Entanglement? Fate.
Oh, Victor. We should talk.
Pyotr? What's there to talk about?
Look, I admire you. Your mind is brilliant. Your theory is... Oh, it's a real advance, and you go on working. I don't know how you can do it with all around you. Well, with all... this going on.
All what going on, Pyotr?
Anna Stepanovna told me how you stood up for
it's me. My team. Our team.
And then there's the article.
What?
In the Physics Journal. Always with the people. You didn't read that. Forward towards new peaks of science, following the splendid path lit by the searchlight of Marxist philosophy, the path we've been shown by the great party of Lenin and Stalin. Yeah, read it yourself. But it talks about individualism, foreign ideas, a lack of respect for Soviet science.
Does it mention me?
Not by name, but... Well, you know how it works, Victor.
No, Pyotr, why don't you tell me?
Oh, you won't be helped, will you? You're just so stubborn sometimes. All right, I will tell you what I was asked to tell you. Comrade Badin wants to see you at once.
Well, one mustn't keep the young grandee waiting.
He's on the Central Committee. Don't be a fool, Victor. Just be sensible and stop being so bloody...
What? Jewish?
So self-destructive.
Thank you, Pyotr Lavrentyevich.
Thank you for taking the time to see me, Dr. Strum. Please sit down. Could I offer you some tea?
Well, I'm sure I don't have to remind you, Comrade Badin, that we're very busy in the lab at this time.
Of course. There's going to be an open meeting of the Scientific Council on Wednesday, Dr. Strum. I think you should attend.
Well, since I'm team leader, that would make sense.
Good. I think you should take the opportunity offered by the meeting to put things back on an even keel.
I'm not quite sure I follow your argument, comrade.
Your colleagues and friends, your supporters, all feel you should make an honest admission of your errors. You will then be able to proceed forward
following the splendid path lit by the searchlight of Marxist philosophy.
It would be advisable.
Perhaps I could write a letter.
I did not think a letter would strike the correct note, Dr. Strum.
I worked. What else was there to do? I worked all day and went home late. No, I didn't go home. I went to see Maria Sokolova. I went to see her because at that moment I thought I was in love with her. I thought she was in love with me.
What? Oh, God, it's you. I thought for a moment... What is it?
Piotr, I wanted to see... talk about all this.
You wanted to see me? To talk?
Yes, that's exactly it. That's what I wanted.
Victor, are you going to the meeting? Are you going to speak?
What can I say?
Who cares? I have committed errors and I admit my guilt. I'm now conscious of this and will mend my ways. Then go back to work. Everyone does it. Even your beloved Shostakovich. It doesn't mean anything.
What's that? It's a letter, Piotr, from my mother. The last letter she ever wrote to me before she was murdered by the Germans. It does mean something. It means everything. I won't be at the meeting. Read it.
If it's not your speech for tomorrow's meeting, I'm not interested.
Piotr, listen to me.
And I must ask you, Viktor Pavlovich, to stop coming to my flat, to cease any contact you have with my wife or myself, other than the strictly professional, to inform your wife that Maria will no longer visit, that... Oh, hell, Victor, just get out of my life, will you?
Can we sit for a while?
I don't want to make anyone suffer.
I shouldn't be here. I should go. Piotr made me promise to stop seeing you. He's ill. I shouldn't...
I feel as if I'm having a heart attack, Maria.
Dear God. You can see everything. You understand everything. I'm not hiding anything, Victor. Here I am. But why say anything? Once it's said, don't you see that there's Piotr, there's Lyuda. Oh, God, can't you see this?
Yes. Yes, yes, we have no right.
Oh, my dearest, 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 my light.
If you go, all the light and hope and happiness in my life will go with you, Masha. That woman whose fingers I had just kissed could have replaced everything I had ever dreamed of. Science, fame, the joy of recognition, the fear of arrest and disgrace, all gone.
Nadia, there are other people who want to use the bathroom in the morning, you know.
Sorry,
Peter.
I'll be out in a moment.
Zhenya? Zhenya, what on earth? Where? My Lord Zhenya!
Vitya.
When?
Yesterday. I arrived in the afternoon. You got back so late that I'm sharing with Nadia. She's really growing up now, isn't she?
But I mean, it's wonderful.
Nikolai has been arrested. He's here in Moscow, in the Lubyanka. They wanted to talk to me.
Krimov, how can that be?
I don't know. I simply don't know, but I just had to see him, that's all, to try and see him, because... I don't know. Because...
Victor, come and get your breakfast. You'll be late.
We'll talk later.
Yeah. So what happened?
Oh, she just turned up yesterday evening. You know what she's like.
Krimov, I mean, all the times I've argued with Nikolai, and now he's in prison. And what about her boyfriend, the general?
Novikov's a colonel, as you know very well, Victor. And I don't know what about him, really. I just wish she hadn't come. Look, you're going to be late if you don't get a move on.
It's all right. I'm not going in today. There's only some tedious meeting.
Well, shouldn't you be there?
They don't need me to get through their business. I won't make any difference at all. It's far better if I work at home. I can do something useful here.
Victor, you're not... not going to be in trouble, are you?
Not compared to Krimov.
Well, Nikolai was the great Bolshevik. He worked with the underground, and now look at him. I always thought he was the perfect communist. I couldn't sleep last night for thinking, how could it happen? How?
You slept very well last night, Lyuda. Every time I woke up, I could hear you snoring.
I don't snore. It was probably Victor.
I'm not holding you up, am I, Victor?
He's not going in today. There's something happening, and he's not going in. He's refusing to... As long as they don't arrest him, he can cope with anything but that. I can go back to teaching. We could move to the dacha.
They won't let you keep it, Yuda.
And we'll have to give up shopping in the special store.
And if they find Krimov guilty, what do you think will happen to you, Zhenya?
And no more parcels.
You should have given your testimony and gone home, gone back to Novikov. He's a good man. He loves you.
I have to see Nikolai to try. You know that.
Do I?
He was my husband.
Zhenya, you've acted according to your conscience. That's the highest thing a man can do.
Oh, you men and your highest things. What about your wives and daughters? What about Nadia? Must she pay for your idealism? Zhenya, eat. You'll need your strength.
Remember Tolstoy on capital punishment? I cannot remain silent.
Ugh, remember Tolstoy driving his wife mad with his stupid demands and contradictions.
Remember 1937 when thousands were arrested and executed and we did remain silent.
Oh.
Zhenya, you're doing the right thing. What you believe in.
Do stop sermonizing. You're not the Buddha. You're just a... You're just an out-of-work physicist. And Zhenya isn't Rosa Luxemburg. She's just ruining her life, tormenting a good man. And what good will it do, Krimov? He won't be happy, even if they do set him free.
Who's talking about happiness, Yuda?
What they're talking about, Zhenya, or will be in a few hours, is Victor's future. And he won't even be there.
I'm late. Papa, I thought you were off to repent today.
Well, oh, Nadia.
I can't breathe.
You know, you really are a Hebrew maiden. What a drop of old Russia in you.
Papa's genes is why I keep getting told off for being cheeky. And don't worry, Papa, we won't let you die of hunger.
You and your lieutenant?
That's it. Auntie Zhenya. Oh. Mama. Grandmama, wherever you are. Papa.
Oh.
I love you.
You know, Vera had a lieutenant when I was in Stalingrad. Now Nadia's got one. And there was Tolia, too. They die so easily.
Zhenya, when are you going to the Lubyanka? You must eat something. You must eat before you go.
I'll be in my study doing some real work.
Increasing the number and quality of our postgraduate students with a constant reliance on the thought of Marx, Lenin and Stalin. Which brings us, I think, academician, to the next highly regrettable matter on the agenda today.
Indeed it does, Comrade Secretary. Our colleague, Dr. Strom...
Who hasn't even deigned to appear. I believe both the director and the secretary have spoken to him in the most reasonable terms, and yet where is he?
Well, certainly common courtesy alone would have dictated at least an apology for absence.
He doesn't seem to be speaking the same language as we do.
And the language of Marxism, Leninism.
Perhaps it's the language of the shtetl.
The science.
Well, certain people have managed to draw a quite indecent amount of attention to Strom's dubious theorising.
I myself originally supported the work. But it seems to me that a man who goes astray in politics may very well stray in his science.
But Dr. Markov, you're here as representative of Strum's laboratory. He does, it seems, have a particular fondness for those of his own... We could call it nepotism. Dr. Markov?
Dr. Strom can be authoritarian. He certainly can ride roughshod over the feelings of his staff. He often seems to have a prejudiced opinion about his colleagues and about the party. The science, well, I have to say, well, I would not take it upon myself to criticise it. I'm not qualified.
Well, I will, citizen. I've heard Strum say quite openly there is no English physics, no Soviet physics, no American physics, but all is one.
Which is a rather cosmopolitan point of view, yes. I would say. Dr. Sokolov, you've been a colleague of Strum's for a long time now. What do you say?
You must forgive me. I had heart trouble in the night. I cannot... Yes, I... I beg to be excused.
Comrade Chairman, I suggest we draw up a resolution requesting the administration to amputate the decaying limb from our healthy collective.
In favour. Against? Unanimously, then, the resolution will be sent forward. And now, on to more pleasant topics. The Canteen Committee.
The Copenhagen interpretation. We define light as a photon with the equation E equals HF, containing the frequency F. But there is nothing that allows us to define a frequency. Therefore, we must regard light as particle and frequency simultaneously. And yet, though we may observe light as photon or wave, we can never observe it as particle and wave. So tell me, academician, tell me, Boris Badin, what is the searchlight of Marxist philosophy, the path we have been shown by the great party of Lenin and Stalin? Is it wave, or particle, or both, or neither? I should have said it. I didn't say it. But all the same, I would have to live with the consequences. The thing is,
they've cut you off. That's what the resolution said, and that's what they've done.
An amputation, yes.
You can't go back there.
They arrest me. If only they'd just do it then.
Don't be silly, Papa. Why would they arrest you?
Nadia, sweetheart, what would happen to you and Mama if they did?
We could work. I'd work in a shop and bring home extra food.
But we won't have any money, and you need a new coat.
We'll survive.
Of course I don't.
I'll work and do embroidery and make painted scarves. Or I could work as a lab assistant.
They won't let you into school, Victor.
We still have the dacha, till the summer anyway. We could pick strawberries, raspberries and sell them. We could grow our own food.
All the things we could do, but we didn't. And now we never will.
Time passed. I didn't go back to work. Nobody called. Zhenya went home. I wondered if Krimov had said anything during his interviews. No one called. I stayed at home, nothing happened. I was lost in the dark. There was no light. No one called.
Everything has changed, Victor.
And yet nothing has changed. It's merely a question of how we look at it.
No, it's a question of someone coming in the night, hammering on the door and saying, Viktor Pavlovich Strum, by order of the Secretariat for State Security, you must come with us.
Oh, God, what if it happens, Lyuda?
Maybe there's something they want you to sign.
Maybe someone heard about those 15 eggs you got in your parcel.
Maybe it was about those 2 tablecloths I sold at the market.
Maybe it was someone you got angry with.
Maybe it was someone you talked to years ago.
I sat at home. No one called. I didn't go to work. I tried to work at home. I was right to say no. No one called. I should have gone to the meeting. I stayed at home. No one called. I waited for a knock at the door. I kept a small suitcase packed with essentials. I waited for the knock at the door.
I'll get it. Someone promised to ring about a job at the collective.
Hello. Yes. Hold on, please. Victor, it's for you.
Who is it? Who's calling at last? Yes.
Good day, Comrade Strum.
Yes?
Do you have a few moments to talk?
Yes, Comrade Stalin. Yes, of course I do.
I think you are working in a very interesting field, Comrade. Nuclear physics is of the utmost international and national importance.
I certainly believe in my work.
Has the war made it difficult to obtain foreign research reports? Do you have all the laboratory equipment you need?
Thank you very much, Yosif Vissarionovich. My working conditions are perfectly satisfactory.
And are you receiving the support you need in your endeavours?
I'm sure there will be no problems in that area, comrade.
Excellent. Keep up the good work.
Thank you. Yes, indeed.
I wish you all success, Comrade Sturm. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Comrade Stalin.
Comrade.
Yes, indeed. Unmistakable voice.
Oh, if only Talia could have known. Oh. Victor and Comrade. Comrade.
Oh, the noise finally gone mad.
Your papa was just talking to Yosef Vissarionovich Stalin.
Very funny.
Oh, dear sweet daughter of mine, you have no idea how funny they're all going to find it at the academy. Comrade Stalin!
They'll all bow to you in the store now, Mama.
I'm the building manager.
My husband just had a phone bill from Comrade Stalin!
But you could have asked him about Krimov and Uncle Dmitri and Tolia's father.
Tell the truth, Nadia, I was almost speechless. It was like Newton appeared at the door or Galileo. What would you say?
What now, Vitya? Why don't you ring Academician Shishakov?
Oh, no, they won't need to be told. No point in rubbing their faces in it.
I think I'll go and do some work. Just some work for a while.
You didn't give in, Papa.
Sometimes I wished I had. I wasn't strong.
But you didn't give in, did he, Mama?
No. No, sweetheart. He didn't.
Hello. I needed to hear your voice. Say something to me.
Oh, Masha, you know how I feel.
Vitka, my darling. I told Pyotr.
What?
I told him I loved you. I promised I would never see you again.
Viktor Pavlovich, good to see you. Back where you belong.
Thank you, Pyotr Lavrentyevich. And thank you for saying nothing against me.
Well, I said nothing for you.
Sometimes silence speaks for itself. Academician Shishakov.
Viktor Pavlovich.
Shaken off that fever, eh?
Ready to get back to it?
Absolutely, academician.
Splendid. Splendid.
Your team's waiting for you.
Oh. Well, comrade, here you are at last. We were wondering where you got to. I was about to send out a search party to see if you were ice fishing on the river.
It's good to be back at work, comrade Badin. Supporting our boys' heroic efforts at Stalingrad. Getting behind Yosef Vissarionovich in the national struggle.
You see, that is a spirit we need to build for victory.
Exactly, yes.
Now, you two go on. I'd like a word with Viktor Pavlovich. You know, Viktor, there's talk of a Stalin Prize for your work. It'll be good for the Institute. It'll make you one of our stars. And, if I may say, well-deserved, too. Now, I know you want to get back to your work, so I'll let you go. But if you could find time to pop into my office, say, Friday?
Of course, Comrade Badin.
Oh, Viktor Pavlovich, welcome back to your kingdom.
We've missed you, but we've got some interesting analysis you'll want to see.
So you're still with us, Anna Stepanovna?
Mm-hmm. Reinstated with full back pay and privileges restored. Oh, it's like a dream. And now, the news from Stalingrad. Oh, how things do happen. How they do happen. Come and listen, Papa. Come and listen now. At once, come on.
Announcing the total victory of Russian forces over the German invader. The last resistance of Axis forces has been crushed, and more than 100,000 prisoners taken. Field Marshal Paulus personally signed the articles of surrender. The city of Stalingrad is once again free.
It's really
of course it is. We are stamping on the bastards' faces.
Don't swear. Oh, on the other hand, yes, we are. Where's Mama?
In Talia's room.
You can hear.
He'll never hear. Vitya, my Talia will never, ever hear that. Because he's gone. Gone. And ever.
So many of them. So many.
Viktor Pavlovich, please, do sit down. Yeah. Now, I've asked academician Shishikov to join us since we've got... Well, it's not a problem exactly, but... Well, between you and me, I think there's a good deal of jealous feeling coming from our allies.
I'm not sure I understand.
At this moment, when we're bearing the whole weight of the war on our shoulders, certain English scientists have published a public letter condemning us, the Soviet Union, for the mistreatment, the imprisonment, and even the shooting of a number of prominent Soviet scientists and artists. Personally, I think they're trying to discredit our glorious victory at Stalingrad.
Yes, in any case, it's a terrible slander. And we will not stand for it. Russian dead cry out at this vile attack.
But people have been arrested, comrade. We all know that.
And for good reason, comrade. We all know that. After all, let's be honest, Viktor Pavlovich. You're quite a prickly character yourself, aren't you? And yet here you are, not arrested.
And this letter was today reprinted in the New York Times. Mm. We cannot allow this to stand.
A document has been prepared refuting the article in the strongest terms. What we need is for a few of our most distinguished men of science to sign it.
Yes. This Anglo-American campaign plays right into the hands of the fascists.
Of course, no need to lecture Viktor Pavlovich, academician. He is a patriot, a Russian, a true Soviet citizen.
Of course, of course. I've never doubted it.
So, Viktor Pavlovich, you have a pen.
I have a pen.
You. Piotr found the strength not to do what they ask. He refused to sign their letter. Because of you, he found the courage. But I'm worried. You always come out hurt and bleeding. You'll never give even an inch, whilst the rest walk away with a slight knock.
She didn't know. How could she? That now, in the moment when everything seemed possible to her, it was finally irrevocably impossible. And not because of fate.
but because of one stroke of the pen. Good men, bad men alike are capable of weakness. The difference is that the bad man will be proud his life long of one good act, whereas the good man is hardly aware of good act, but one bad act will corrode his soul forever. No, that's not it at all. I didn't want to be a hero. I just wanted to struggle every day to try and be a decent man. Struggle for the right to be kind, even. Especially because I would fail again and again. I took out my wallet and looked at the last letter from my mother, written as she knew they were coming to kill her. And I thought, maybe I will have enough strength. Your strength, Mother.
In Victor and the Academy, Victor was played by Kenneth Branagh and Maria by Harriet Walter. Liuda was Greta Skaki, Nadia, Ellie Kendrick, and Zhenya, Raquel Cassidy. Sokolov was Nigel Anthony, Shishakov, Jack Shepherd, Badin, Carl Prekop, Chipijin, James Green, Anna Stepanovna, Alex Tregear, and Markov, Simon Bubb. Stalin was Philip Maddock. Other parts were played by Elaine Claxton, Jonathan Forbes, James Lely, and Gerard McDermott. Original music was composed and produced by John Hardy with Rob Whitehead and performed by Oliver Wilson-Dixon, Tom Jackson, Stacey Blythe, and Max Pownall. Life and Fate, Victor and the Academy, was dramatised by Mike Walker from the novel by Vasily Grossman, translated by Robert Chandler. Life and Fate was directed and produced by Jonquil Panting and Alison Hindle.
And you might like to know that you can now download and keep the entire series of Life and Fate from the BBC Radio 4 website, bbc.co.uk/radio4. After the news, Open Book will be marking the 50th anniversary of Joseph Heller's bestseller Catch-22, the story of a bombardier stationed in an American bomber squadron off the coast of Italy during the last months of the Second World War. Also in the programme, the role of the writer in residence and the future of literary apps. Join Mariella Frostrup for Open Book here on BBC Radio 4, and that's in a couple of minutes.